It's great to see everyone. I know the kids are very happy this morning. Because Santa was good to you. Santa was also good to me. I haven't had a chance to open my presents though, so I don't know. We'll do it this afternoon at some point. And so I'll find out. But I was talking to one of the young men this morning. I said, what'd you get? I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And he just, I was like, wow, good for you. That's exciting. We love Christmas, don't we? It's amazing when you think about it. This whole concept of Christmas and giving each other gifts. They didn't do this back in Bible days. It started only a few hundred years ago. Now don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with it, as long as it does not supersede what the Word of God says. Amen? Christmas is great. We get time to be with family. We get time to be with each other. It's wonderful. But we've got to remember why Jesus came in the first place. You know, we've all received gifts. And, you know, all our lives growing up, you probably got gifts of some kind or another during Christmas. And it's always amazing, though, when you get to the end of your life and you ask, in terms of, what was the most precious gift you ever got? 9 times out of 10, people do not remember what you gave to them as far as a physical object. What they do remember is what you did for them, or what you meant to them, or how much of yourself you gave to them. That's what people remember. As I'm standing here, I'm trying to remember some of the gifts I got when I was growing up for Christmas. I couldn't remember any except one. You say, well, Richard, that's bad. No, I don't think so. I just don't remember those things. Now, I can remember all the different things people did for me and how they gave of themselves to me. Are you with me? And so let us remember, as God gave us Jesus, He gave of Himself. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I believe we got the perfect gift in Jesus. And that's the title of my lesson. But before I get into that, I want to introduce a couple of people. First of all, Sharon McGee was baptized into Christ last Sunday afternoon. Can I have you stand up again? Stand. Congratulations. I also need to introduce a couple of two couples that are placing membership in our church as Richard and Judy Winbush. Can I have you guys stand up? And also Hervé and Adeline Pierre. In Isaiah chapter 7, that's where we're going to start. We're talking about the perfect gift. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, the Bible says, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. This is 750 years before Jesus was born. It says the virgin would be with child. You and I know the story. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel showed up to Mary. And says, you who are highly favored. It says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of God will overshadow you. And you will give birth to a son. Imagine that. You see, Jesus could not have been born of a man.
Because Adam, the first man, is not a name like Peter. It simply means mankind. The first person, the first human, Adam, was a sinner. And so he couldn't be born of somebody like that. God had to deliver him himself. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, the Bible tells us. Imagine trying to explain to your family. How did you get pregnant without having slept with Joseph? You know, we read it and we think, ah, there was nothing to it. This was huge back then. The Bible tells us that Joseph was going to divorce her quietly. Because finally, God sent another angel to Joseph. You know, hey, dude, you're not going to divorce her. Because what is in her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me, church? I mean, you and I were born at some point into this world. And the Bible teaches that you and I were knit together in our mother's wombs. We didn't exist prior to that time. We were knit together by God in our mother's wombs. Jesus was different. He already existed. He was with God always. Together with God and the Holy Spirit, they created this universe that you and I live in. And then at some point, he got in here. That's amazing to me. I remember growing up, you know, before my mother and my parents told me about the birds and the bees. And, you know, somebody who got pregnant, I'm like, wow. I used to think, you know what? The way you got pregnant is you pray and God will put the baby in there. I'm serious. You pray and boom, the baby shows up. And, you know, all of a sudden, the person comes back home with a baby, and I used to think they went to the hospital, their stomach opened up, the baby came out, and it closed up. That was what I thought. I learned differently later. I'm going to leave that to you to tell to your kids. If you haven't done so already. But that's the way God designed the thing. But see, Jesus came in a very special way. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God in the beginning. And then in verse 14, it tells us, this Word, the Logos, became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. Emmanuel. God with us. Can you imagine what it must have been like to have lived back in the first century and to follow him around and to listen to him teach and preach and heal the sick? You know, sometimes, you know, you hear this argument that, you know what, if God really wanted to make this thing very effective, he should have come at a time like now with all the technology we got and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. God wrote the book on Apple. Okay? There's stuff Apple will never be able to do that Jesus has already done. Are you with me? I'm thinking, if he came now, then with all this technology, you can beam all these messages all over the place. Let me tell you something. If Jesus came right now, many people will not follow him. Because he said, you know what? You want to be my disciple? You got to give up everything to follow me. If you want to save your life, you are going to lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will keep it for eternal life. That is not a popular message. Because we want to remain the kings of our lives. We want to remain the Lord of our lives. And God says, no. I came down from heaven to save you from your sins. And you got to turn it over to me. The message is not a very complicated one. Amen? It really isn't a very complicated one. And that's why it's exciting when you see men and women decide to make Jesus the Lord of their lives and to turn their lives over. It's exciting. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repents. Because we're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Jesus came into this world so that you and I have an incredible opportunity to spend eternity with God forever. No pain. No sorrow. No crying. No bad news. Oh, I'm so looking forward to it. I said this one, I'll say it again. There's not going to be. I mean, that's, I can't fathom that.
You're not going to be in heaven and say, who are you? Oh, I'm Dr. Susan. So sorry, doctors don't exist in heaven. We got only one doctor. Because we're all healed, amen? Physically and spiritually. I said this to Andrea before. Sorry, you're going to be out of a job very soon.
But that's just it. And that's the perfect gift that God has given to us. This is the best Christmas present anybody can ever give to you. God gave himself. God gave his son. He says, look to him and you watch what happens. Look in Isaiah chapter 9.
Like I said, it's exciting to see people turn their lives around and decide to make Jesus Lord. A young lady just did that on Friday night. She also attends GGC. Ellie, if you're in here, go ahead and stand up. Welcome to the kingdom of God.
It takes courage to make Jesus Lord. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Amen?
You know, I've been thinking about this message now for a couple of weeks. This year, you know, Christmas happens to fall on a Sunday. And because some of the kids were asking, why are we going to church at Christmas? It's Christmas. Well, it's Christmas, yeah, but you go to church on the first day of the week. We always gather on the first day of the week. That's what the Bible commands us to do. That's what it did back in the first century. Are you with me? And that's why we're having church today. It just so happens that Christmas falls on this morning. And there's nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? But God comes before Christmas. Are you listening to me? Okay. But you see, he says, for to us a child is born. And then he gives four titles very quickly, which I want to talk about. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus has so many names. He has so many titles. There's a lot of them. Now you may ask, why so many? Because one name, a few names, could never really describe him. And that's why so different titles and different names, God tries to give us a little glimpse of himself. That this God that you and I call on, that we call Father, in the human form, this is the kind of life he would have lived. That's what is described in the Gospels. Are you with me? I can't imagine never sinning. I mean, that's unbelievable. I get ticked off all the time. I can't imagine my anger not turning into sin, ever. That's what Jesus did. That's who you and I are following. But he says, Wonderful Counselor. Not just a counselor. Wonderful. I like that word. What do counselors do? They give advice. They give direction. We're talking about the perfect guide. The perfect teacher. The perfect counselor. This is who you go talk to. This is who you go seek advice from.
on any subject. Are you with me? And it's amazing to me. He does it for free. Listen, the next time you go see a therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist, okay, and you sit down and you start talking, you look at them and say, sir, today I'm not paying you. This session is going to be for free. He's going to ask you why. Okay? Say, you know what? Jesus gives me advice all the time and he's never charged me. And so today, I am not going to be paying you. That would be a very interesting session. You're probably going to tell you know what? You can go think about that. I'll see you next time next week. Those guys are not cheap. That is what they do for a living. They are going to charge you for that session. But Jesus never charges us. In John 8:12, he describes himself as the light of the world. He says, whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness. This world is darkness. You say, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm cool. I can see. No, you can't see. Jack. Outside of Christ, you are walking in the darkness. You think you're walking in the light, but you're not. That's what becoming a Christian is. It's following this light, living in this light. We're talking about somebody that knows everything. We're talking about always depending on Jesus for answers. Amen? Yes, sometimes the answers will come quickly. Sometimes the answers will, be no. And sometimes the answer is going to be, you're going to have to wait. That's when we have the hardest time with as humans. But you see, it's always amazing to me how a few months later, a few years later, you look back and you now begin to understand why God didn't do what he was going to do when you wanted it. Because Romans 8:28 is still very true. He says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The Bible is true. But we gotta listen and depend on the wonderful counselor. The next thing he calls me, says, mighty God. In Isaiah chapter 40, you can read it in your spare time. He talks about, who are you going to compare me to? Who did I consult when I created all this stuff? Where were you when I was doing all this stuff? He sets the stars in place and calls them each by name. Wow! That's amazing to me. A few months ago, we just surpassed 7 billion on earth. It's amazing to me that God knows everybody by name. Not only that, all the hair on your head, he knows how many. Sorry, Joe. That's amazing to me. I mean, try one afternoon, just stick your hand out and try, start counting the amount of hair you got, or even just on your hand. Let's see if you try. And he knows everybody's. He's a mighty God. He knows everything. There is nothing he cannot do. There is no situation he cannot bring about. And the exciting thing is, again, this is the God you and I have a privilege to call on daily. And it's free. I don't know about you folks. I love free. Free is good. I mean, can you imagine all the gifts you bought during this Christmas season for the kids? Can you imagine when you walked into TJ Maxx or Best Buy or Apple or wherever it is you went to? They just said, you know, today we're giving everything away for free. You would have said, that's what I'm talking about. In this day and age with all this technology, you would have been, you know, calling your friends and tweeting people, hey, you need to get over here quick. Because they're giving away stuff for free. People like free. Prayer is free. Jesus is free. How come we're not rushing in? Because Satan has sidetracked us. And we think other things are more important. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, can you imagine if God charged us for everything he did for us? Okay, I answered that prayer. It's going to cost you this much. You want that? That's going to cost you. He's not that kind of a God. And he's done so much for us. Again, if you go back and you just take a moment to think about your life and to see what everything that God has done for you to this very moment. First of all, you're not going to be able to list everything. I promise you. Number two, you're going to realize, you know what? He's done so much. And he continues to do so much that we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Amen. Really, this is the gift that gives on giving, if you think about it. Number three, he says, everlasting Father. Not just Father, everlasting, eternal. A Father that is always there. A Father that will never leave you. A Father that will never forsake you. A perfect Father. My father was not perfect growing up. I had my bumps with him. And we talked things through. But he's been gone now for 7 years. I still thank God for him. As I pray. Because whether I like it or not, he was my father. It was through him that God brought me into this world. But my physical father was not perfect. He wasn't designed to be. I'm a father now, but I'm not perfect. I'm not designed to be a perfect father. I try, but I mess up. But we're talking about a perfect father. A father who understands how you feel, who listens to you all the time. Oh, Dad, let's do this. Okay. A father who's never kept me on hold, told me to go wait. Everlasting. A father that will never die. A father that will never leave me. A father that will never leave you. Wow. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, you can write the reference down. It talks about somebody whose origins are from of old, from the ancient times. Again, talking about Jesus. That's who our father is. You know, when you look in your Bible and it says in Genesis, in the beginning, he was with God before them. Before the beginning. Time is for us. They exist above it. I mean, it's amazing. Eternal. And to realize that as Christians, one day we're going to get a reward. The Bible says that we'll never fade, spoil, or perish. Are you with me? You know, I find it always interesting. Around Christmas time, you see all these car people, they're always trying to sell cars. You know, and, you know, give your wife a gift for a car and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's all nice. One of the ones I like is Lexus. And they have this little ring. Dun, 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 whatever. Dun, 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 dun. You know, and then there's a nice ribbon on top of the car. I mean, you know when you get a new car? You know that new car smell? Before the kids get in it? I figured out, finally, that I'm never going to have a clean car until my kids leave, they're gone, they're married, and that day is never going to happen. I've resigned to it. I've accepted it. Because as long as you have kids, I don't care if they're teenagers. That car is not going to be new for very long. They're going to leave stuff in there. They're going to eat in the car. You know, they're going to bring dirty food into the car. That new car is no longer new. After a few, you know, rides in the thing. Are you with me? But we're talking about an eternity where everything is going to remain new. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. Nothing gets old. I'm not even sure we can get there. It's going to be incredible. That's why the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen? And finally, Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus did tell us that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world, He said. We're talking about a peace that comes from the inside. Not based on our circumstances. Not based on what's going on around us. A peace of mind. A contentment. That only God can give to you. He's called Prince of Peace for a reason. Are you with me? And that's why, yeah, when we're troubled, when we have things that we're going through, let me tell you something. There are some things that no human can do for you. You're going to have to go to and be with your God and sort it out with your God. The peace and the contentment that you're looking for, no human can do it for you. No spouse can give that to you. It's going to have to be Him. Why? Because He's the Prince of Peace. The contentment, the peace, the joy that you're looking for, you can only get from Him. And I think sometimes we place a lot of burden on people when we expect people to give us that when they really can't. There are many times in my life when I'm going through stuff and Sarah knows, you know, just leave Him alone. I'm going to sort this stuff out. It's between me and God. Because no human can do it for me. Many, many times. That this thing is between me and the Almighty. And the amazing thing is, He never fails. Amen? That's one thing we can always count on. That's one thing we can always depend on. Jesus came to show us the way to God. Jesus didn't come so that once a year we'll all, you know, invade the stores and wrap gifts and go buy trees and decorate the homes. That's not it. I'm sorry. Yeah, He knew we were going to do it, but that's not why He came. Now, it's great to be together. It's great to see family. It's great to celebrate His birth. But let's not forget why He came. He came to show us the way back to God. He came to give us light in this world and show us the way to live. He created us. And He said, you want to be happy? You want to be joyful? Let me show you how. I created you. I built the computer. Let me show you how it works. And really, if you think about it, that's all Christianity is. That's all it is. In very basic form. It's God saying, you know what? Trust me. I created you. I know what to do. He said, Lord, where are we going? Follow me. Trust me. Well, God, why are we taking that road instead of this one? Would you be quiet and just follow me? I know what I'm doing. And you say, yes, sir. Here I am. Are you with me? That, in a lot of ways, that's what Christianity is all about. That's the perfect gift that God has given to us. And so, as we celebrate this Christmas in the year 2011, I pray that we will remember everything that God has done for us. You know, it's amazing. It never ceases to amaze me how the Holy Spirit always works. Like I said, I've been thinking about this lesson for 2 weeks now. And been thinking, studying out, preparing, all that stuff. And last night, I finally wrote it down. I said, okay, I need something to end this thing. And I found something. And I just smiled. I said, okay, God, You've done it again. Because it's almost as if He looked at my sermon and then put this together. Now, somebody else did this. I just went and bought it. And so I'm going to show you a video clip right now. And then Danny Doble is going to come forward and say a closing prayer. And that's going to be it for our Sunday service. We will be back again this place next week, but it's going to be at 11 o'clock. Amen? New Year's Day, we are going to be here and have a great time. Once again, Merry Christmas. And, oops.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That is who you are. That is who we pray to. That is who we get to have a relationship with. And we are so grateful that you sent your Son to be born, to dwell with us, that you sent yourself so that we would know the way, like Richard said today. We are grateful that we get to worship you. We are grateful that we know the truth, that we have your word, that you were born on this earth, that you taught us the way to be, that you taught us how to get back to you, that you sacrificed your Son on the cross to forgive us, to save us from ourselves, from our sins, from our sinful way of life, and that we could turn to you and live with you eternally. Help us to always remember that. Help us to, especially today, remember that more than anything else, that is what we celebrate. Help us to enjoy our time together, to encourage each other, and to be motivated to serve you for the rest of our lives. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.